Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
To those of you who took the time and made the effort to attend our gospel meeting, I say thank you. I believe that we received great blessings in studying God's Word last week, and that those messages from Brother Ricky Jenkins that were so clear and so motivational will go a long way in helping us to live the kind of life that we're trying to live. In Romans, the second chapter, in verse 6, the Bible says, "God will render to every man according to his deeds." The very fact that man is man carries with it the idea of responsibility. If a machine was turned loose, it would not be responsible in the same sense as man is responsible. In the computer business, there's a little acronym, GEICO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. And when that misinformation spews forth from a computer, I don't know of anyone that says, "Well, we'll go in and we'll fire that Dell computer because it's responsible for this bad information." What they do is look for the person who either programmed or input into that computer misinformation, because man is responsible and not a machine. If a runaway car caused havoc, you would never see that car arrested and put into jail. You'd see the person who was responsible for that car getting into trouble. In fact, in 1958, when I attended Phoenix College, there was a commotion one day out in the parking lot, and a Volkswagen had been left on and was running. There was no one in it. It was just going around in circles, and it was running over trash cans and shrubbery, and people were trying to figure out how to stop that car. And I guarantee you that Volkswagen did not suffer any ill consequences other than the bruises and the scratches that it got from the things it hit. But the owner of that Volkswagen did have to answer certain questions. The very view that you and I are individuals and not simple machines implies on its face that we are amenable, that we are responsible. Also, the fact that we are accountable implies that there is a power supreme to whom we are accountable, to whom we owe allegiance. Any doctrine of atheism or any agnostic that denies a man's responsibility leads to anarchy and chaos. There is a supreme power to whom all man is amenable. Throughout all of the teaching in God's Word, in every age gone by, whether it be the Mosaic dispensation of time, the patriarchal dispensation time, or the Christian dispensation of time in which we live now, in all ages, God sought to impress the human family with the fact that it stands above the animals of the earth. We're different. Man is linked to divinity. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, we are made in the image of God. Certainly that's not talking about a physical image, because if it were, we'd all look the same. But we're made in God's image in that we can We can take information, and from that we can make decisions, and those decisions result in actions for which we're responsible. Man has dominion over all things created, according to Genesis 1 and verse 28, and man is free to think, man is free to act independently. Man is responsible, and the Lord expects a full report on how we use that responsibility, on the things that we decide to do. Thus, it's been that way from the very beginning of time. One of man's finest characteristics is his awareness of his responsibilities in life. As we noted in Romans 2 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren in Rome, says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. That's a very insightful and very important statement for you and I to consider as we go about living our life. What that means is that I am not personally and directly responsible for you. I am not personally and directly responsible for those who have come before me. I am not personally and directly responsible for those who come after me. I will stand on my own record. Certainly, that's not to say that we don't influence one another, that we don't put one another at times in circumstances and atmospheres in which temptations are greater than others. But my own relationship to the demands that are made upon me by God, my own relationship to those demands is mine, and mine alone. God has the right to command, and I have the obligation to follow. God does not set before me things that are impossible for me to do. God sets before me things for my own well-being, for my eternal well-being, and He expects me to be obedient. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." I'd like for you to highlight in your mind a couple of statements in that five-verse passage. The first being in verse 2, where it says, "Bear one another's burdens." The other in verse 5, "For each one shall bear his own load." Paul observes life in verse 2 from the viewpoint of its sorrows, of its troubles. Like in Romans 12 and verse 15, we are to weep with those who weep. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to participate in positive ways in one another's troubles of life so as to bring about a better result. But in verse 5, Paul observes life from the viewpoint of our own individual acceptance of duty's command. Each one shall bear his own load. No man can be your substitute for believing the gospel. That's up to you. No person can repent of your sins for you. That's up to you. No person can acknowledge Jesus Christ for you. That's up to you. No one can render obedience to the gospel call. That's up to you. No one can live a Christian life for you. That's up to you. My hands are full in that it's all that I can do to measure up to heaven's demands to the extent of my own ability. I think that perhaps the most serious thought in the Bible is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Daniel Webster, a congressman from ages past and of beginning of this country, stood before Congress and he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Mr. Webster continued to say that that was the most serious thought that he had ever entertained. Now, certainly, those of us who study history and have studied some of the issues that confronted Webster and the other congressmen in that day know that there were serious things that they had to decide on. But Webster hit it right on the head. He hit the nail right on the head with a hammer when he said that 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 was the most serious thing that he had ever to contemplate. Some people escape the summons of the courts of our land. They flee from justice. They get out of the jurisdiction where they are no longer exposed to those that are trying to enforce the law. We saw that happen oftentimes when the Vietnam War was going on, where people would leave the country and flee to Canada so that they could avoid serving their country in that time. But I would tell you, even though some people can get on the witness stand and plead the Fifth Amendment, and sometimes people can have the resources to hire a good enough attorney to make the guilt of their actions seem innocent, there is one summons that will never escape. There will be some questions that everyone will answer on that day when we stand before the great judge. If you and I really believe that, it has to affect the way that we live. It has to affect our priorities. There's always been a disposition, wouldn't you say, on the part of man to point an accusing finger at someone else when things go wrong, to shirk obligations and responsibilities. We so easily at times try to shift blame to others, and many expect, it seems, to gain preeminence through friends that they have or relatives they have to ride to safety, especially in spiritual things, on our parents' reputation, rather on the things that we do and we believe and we put as part of our life. Christianity is a matter of individual service and personal responsibility. The Bible is clear in warning us against relying upon the other fellow. There's a parable in Matthew, the 25th chapter, that I'd like to share with you that clearly illustrates the lesson that we're considering today. We call it the parable of the 10 virgins, and it starts in the first chapter of Matthew 25 and goes through verse 12. The words of Jesus: "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, saying, 'No, there will not be enough for us, and you too. So go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.' So the wise took their lamps, and they took their vessels with oil with them. And the others took their lamps and left the oil behind. And at midnight, then came the time of consequence of the decisions that had been made. The wise arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish came and wanted to borrow. They wanted to share in the joys of someone that had that had taken the time and the opportunity and effort to be prepared, didn't they? But the answer was not so. Go buy for yourself. So they left to buy, and then the door was shut. It was too late for them. There's another parable in the same chapter that deals with the subject, beginning in verse 14, reading through verse 30 of Matthew chapter 25. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were fruitful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joys of your master. And the one also who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joys of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered not. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I don't sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put the money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For every one who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness, in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Talking there about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country. A man who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to them he gave according to their talents. It was a responsibility that was individual, that was personal to these servants. I want you to note for a moment that the 5-talent man and the 2-talent man received exactly the same reward. That's encouraging to me. I don't have the talent that many others have, but I'm responsible for using what I have. And the reward that is designed in the system that God set into place will reward me just as though I had the talents of those who have more. The foolish and the afraid servants in these parables teach us a great lesson. Did you notice in the 5 and the 2 and the 1 talent man that they didn't form a corporation? That they didn't come to God and say, Well, you gave us a total of 8 talents, and with that we've gained 7 more. Well, that would be a pretty good return from a corporate standpoint, wouldn't it? But they didn't do that. They didn't respond with the word we. Christianity is individual. When we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be able to say, Well, I was a part of a great congregation that did great work and showed great faithfulness. And I was a part of this group or that group. we're going to give an answer for what we do individually, our Lord. There's not a parable, there's not an illustration, there's not a reference in the whole Bible, but that which teaches individual and personal responsibility. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit." When Ken Leach stands in judgment, it's not what did the church do that you were a member of. It's not going to be what did your family do that you were a part of. It's not going to be how did your kids turn out. It's going to be individual. Do you realize that you could be lost and every member of your family could be saved? Do you realize also that every single person could be lost and you still could be saved? What a thought is that? Again, Romans 2 and verse 6, the passage that we started with, so important to our consideration and to our thoughts. God will render to every man according to his deeds. What about your deeds? What about your accomplishments for the Lord? What about your priority list? What do you have planned today? I think most of you who listen to this radio broadcast do it on Sunday. That's when it's broadcast on KXXT, Sunday morning at 8:30. Many of you who are listening to this broadcast are on your way to services, to worship services, an environment wherein you can express your love and devotion, your obedience to God. How will you handle that responsibility? When prayers are said, will you participate in your mind and in those prayers? Will you understand that you are responsible to communicate with God? Even though there may be someone standing before you that is publicly leading a prayer, that do you understand that you're responsible, that you have a responsibility in that procedure to open up your heart and your mind and communicate with God? What about when we sing? Will you sing with the spirit and the understanding as God's word has said? Or will you be affected by those that are around you? Will you do it to the best of your ability? What about when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Will you look at a picture of Jesus Christ as he died on the cross for our sins? Will you be able to worship today effectively? When you finish your day, when you couch your head on the pillow at night and prepare to sleep, and you look back on the activities of the day, will you be happy with what you've done individually? Will you be like the virgins that brought the oil and were prepared for the bridegroom? Or will you be like those that didn't prepare? If you should die during your sleep and judgment should come, and Jesus Christ looks at you and he opens the book of life and asks you to give an answer for those things that you've done while in the body, whether they be good or bad, where will the excuse making go? Where will the times when you could have but didn't go? I asked you to consider these things. Certainly, as we have said before, we influence one another to good. We are responsible for setting a good example. We are responsible for admonishing one another, for building one another up, and all of these things work together. But when it comes to fishing or cutting bait, The answer is going to be individual. Individual in its scope, eternal in its importance. I pray that if you're listening to this radio broadcast today, that you'll honor us with your attendance at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. If you come to visit us, bring your Bible, check the things that you hear said and done with the Scriptures to see if we have Bible authority. We try very hard to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, and we hope that you'll come and join us in that effort. It is so important that it's hard to find a word to describe the magnitude of the consequence of worshiping God. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.